In the US, how safe is the church for young people and how effective are the measures taken in the wake of the 2002 child sex abuse scandal? Avoiding the tragedy of another abuse crisis was the guiding principle behind a series of preventative and child protection measures that were taken by the church authorities in the wake of the 2002 scandal, when it emerged that more than 4,000 US priests had been accused of abusing minors since the 1950s. But 6 years on from then, how effective are the current screening methods that were adopted to stamp out the risk of child sex abuse within the church? A leading US Catholic psychologist believes the best approach for avoiding another sexual abuse scandal in the church is to prevent candidates with tendencies towards paedophilia from becoming priests. Psychologist Phil Scrofani is the speaker at an upcoming seminar in Virginia that will address the need for psychological expertise when working with candidates for the priesthood. Dr. Scrofani is Director of Clinical Training at the Catholic Institute for the Psychological Sciences in Arlington, Virginia. I began by asking him how effective the current screening methods are at seminaries in the U.S.
Well, the screening process has improved immensely since the scandal, and in some seminaries, I might say, even prior to the scandal. The screening processes are now very thorough. They utilize psychologists who have extensive expertise in the process of screening. They tend to use complete, full batteries of psychological testing where they did not in the past. And they utilize very complete, what we call developmental interviews, where we not only look at the psychological development of the person, but also their psychosexual maturity. How effective we are, I guess time will tell, but it seems like there's every indication that the effectiveness has improved immensely.
Is there any other further improvements that you would like to see taken, that you are suggesting should be taken?
Yes, I think that we should look at the process of follow-through. That screening itself is not sufficient. That's a good first step. But there should be careful monitoring of seminarians throughout their preparation, always with an eye on how mature they are, the kinds of relationships that they're maintaining as seminarians, that kind of thing. And, of course, there needs to be training of young priests and even, I should say, adult practitioners on the risk factors that emerge that may lead to inappropriate relationships between adult and child. Now, how would we learn about those risk factors? Well, there are experts that can teach the kinds of parameters that one should look out for. But also, I think it's important to interview and to get to know the victims of these tragedies, those who are willing to step in and try to assist the church and help the church become a safer place, by sharing their experiences and by sharing the personal vulnerabilities that made them susceptible to these kinds of abuses.
But how many of these victims are actually willing to do that, which it must be quite a painful thing to relive those experiences?
Yes, that, of course, is the great challenge. We have to find people, first of all, who aren't so embittered by the experience that they might not be willing to assist the church, but there are certainly some people who are willing to step forward and help. And yes, we have to be careful that they have sufficiently worked through their own trauma in order to be useful and of assistance to any project that would help by way of prevention.
During his trip to the U.S., Pope Benedict was very upfront and frank about apologizing for the sexual abuse scandal. And he also made a pledge to keep pedophiles out of the priesthood, saying it was more important to have good priests than many priests. Do you think that in the past this was a point that was perhaps sometimes disregarded by those in charge of the seminaries?
I think he's absolutely on target with that statement. I think in the past there was an eagerness to bring young men into the priesthood, which of course is something that we want, but I think in the effort to recruit priests, that many things that had to do with one's understanding and one's appreciation of the human person and human sexuality were not looked at thoroughly, and therefore people got into the priesthood, into seminaries at least, that were ill-suited for the task. The Arlington Diocese in Virginia has been one of the dioceses that I think followed that dictum that Pope Benedict now articulates so well. They were far more interested in getting good priests than many priests. Interestingly enough, they were rewarded by getting many of both.
Pope Benedict also said during his visit to the U.S. that in many cases this sexual abuse crisis was badly handled by the church. From a psychological viewpoint, what should the church have done and what can it do in the future to help the victims regain their trust in the church and its clergy?
Well, to begin with, I think we need a zero-tolerance posture with anything that speaks to child abuse or impropriety with regard to children, exploiting children in any way. Those policies, that attitude has to be communicated right from the beginning, with, not only with seminarians, but throughout the parishes, throughout the diocese. There needs to be programs where people are sensitized to the possibility of exploitation of children. People need to be educated, both priests and lay people, adults, in the kind of risk factors that they might look for to prevent such tragedies. Yes, in the past, there was a lax attitude. I think there was a lax attitude about people's view of human sexuality and chastity. As you might recall, we went through a period, at least in the United States, and I think in most of Western Europe, where the entire culture became very lax and relaxed about the purpose of human sexuality. And I think that found its way into seminaries and other educational institutions.
Do you think, then, that by his pronouncements and his repeated apologies, and, of course, his unscheduled meeting with a group of victims during his visit to the U.S., that the Pope did a lot to help this healing process, which must, of course, be very difficult for those who've been abused in this way?
I think he made a very courageous, immense step in that regard. He was very visible to the public with his concern for the victims and for the tragedies that developed in terms of pedophilia. I think he set into motion the message that the hierarchy should be emulating what he has done. They should be stepping forward and being very visible in their dioceses and, of course, pastors in their parishes to make the public aware that we are concerned, about what happened to victims, and we are concerned about learning everything that's possible to prevent further tragedy. He's been a wonderful role model. I think what has to occur, though, is more of the same would be immensely helpful if the Holy Father continues on this path and encourages the hierarchy to do the same.
And coming back to the victims, when you've met victims of sexual abuse, what percentage of them remain highly embittered? How easy is it for them to let go, in a sense, and forgive?
I think that the probably the majority of the victims, certainly that I've met and that I've read about, are at this point concerned about achieving justice with the church, that they feel like that their rights as a human being have been terribly violated and that they want to see justice. They're very concerned about that. The process of forgiveness will probably come later for many of them. Of course, I have met a handful of people that have been victims of pedophilia that have moved into the forgiveness area and now are looking towards letting the church hierarchy know this terrible thing that happened to them and what might be done to begin to heal the wounds. But they are very much in the minority. That doesn't mean that they're not out there. It doesn't mean that there aren't people that are willing to step forward and to help.
That was Dr. Phil Scrofani, a Catholic psychologist from the Institute for the Psychological Sciences in Arlington, Virginia.